Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
All sermons should start like that, right? My people, yes. There's a kindergarten teacher I heard about who decided to give her kindergartners an assignment to draw a picture of anything that they wanted. And of course, kindergartners generally get pretty excited about this, right? So they all set about drawing and they're having a great time. And the teacher was strolling around and just kind of looking at the different pictures that each student was choosing to draw. And she came across one girl was very diligent and drawing a beautiful drawing, but it was something pretty unusual. And the teacher looked at it and said, "That's great. What is that? What is that that you're drawing?" And the little girl said, "I'm drawing God." The teacher said, "But nobody knows what God looks like." The little girl didn't miss a beat. She said, "They will in a minute." That's bold, right? And I share that story because this morning I'm going to ask you to do something that's a little bit bold, and it's going to give us a glimpse. I'm going to ask you to give us a glimpse of what God looks like. Here at the beginning of 2017, always at the new year, it's a great opportunity to kind of wipe the slate clean, to start over, to kind of set some goals, and to move forward in our lives, to make some positive changes. And what I want to share with you this morning is the single most powerful tool I know how to do that. This is what I teach, probably the most important tool that I teach worldwide when I share these. It's a decision that I made almost 20 years ago. And when you make this decision, this decision alone has accounted for more success, wealth accumulation, positive changes in relationships, health changes, changes in our spiritual lives. And alas, failing to make this decision has done just the opposite. In the late 90s, as Jake had kind of shared with you, in the late 90s, I had been performing as a guitarist and comedian at colleges. That was my gig. I played college. In 16 years, I played over 1,800 college shows all over the U.S. and Canada. And just in that niche market, not anywhere else, but just in that niche market, I was doing pretty well. I was winning awards. I was getting booked a lot. And I have a mentor who saw right through that. And he said, this guy named Brian Tracy. And he said, "Mike, that's great. Have you resolved to be the best? And I was like, dude, that's guitar player talk. Dude, I'm doing pretty well here. And he said, dude, that's not what I asked you. Have you resolved to be the best, meaning my personal best? Have I made a choice to not just rise to the level of acceptable, but to rise to the best I could possibly be? And I started thinking about that and all that it meant, and the answer knocked me over. The answer was no. Here I was doing what I feel like I've been put on the planet to do, and because it's working, I was coasting. Turns out most adults are coasting. Do you know that feeling of coasting? Here's the problem with coasting. It only happens downhill. It was that day that I made the choice that changed everything. I measure my life in before and after this decision. I made the choice to become my personal best, to pursue excellence in everything that I do. But I personalized it because my background is music. That day, I made the choice to become a virtuoso. Virtuoso. Virtuoso is a funny word. It's an Italian word. It comes from the root word virtue, which means good, of high moral standard, excellence, and oso, which means oh so good. I don't know what it means. It's an Italian word. Virtuoso in the music world is someone of mastery level skill. Someone who wakes up in the morning making the choice for excellence so often, it's not even a choice anymore. It's just who you are. And to be clear on this, I'm not saying I am a virtuoso. I'm saying I've made the choice to be on that path, to pursue it. And I want to get there. I really do. And having been on this path for a long time, there's a lot of things I know about the path. And the first thing I know about it is most adults will never make this choice. Or kind of give it lip service and say you will, but they don't pursue it. They never act on it. To be clear on this, I'm not talking about success or failure. The opposite of virtuoso isn't failure. The opposite of virtuoso is competent. There are plenty of competent people. Most of it, that's kind of the price of admission these days. There are precious few virtuosos. But what we find in studying this is that in life, the greatest impact, the greatest influence, the greatest income, the greatest satisfaction of life happens when people pursue going from competent to virtuoso. Now, especially if you're new here, or even if you're not, you're probably thinking, is this church or a Tony Robbins event, okay? He's a motivational speaker. All of this, everything that I'm sharing with you is biblical, and we're going to get there. I'm going to explain that in just a little bit. If right now you're even entertaining the possibility that what I'm saying has some validity, might work for you, the first question most people would ask would be, well, are you saying that just anybody can make the choice to become a virtuoso and make it happen? Just anybody? I mean, what if I don't play guitar? What if I don't have all these talents? What if I don't, I'm not in art or on stage or dancing or whatever? What if I sell shoes for a living? What if I'm a cabinet maker? What if I'm a teacher? What if I drive a forklift? What if I'm a landscaper? What if I clean toilets for a living? Which, by the way, every one of those is a job which I have had and have chosen to become a virtuoso at some point or another. And the answer is yes. Anyone can become a virtuoso, but it has to be in your area of expertise, what you're talented at and what you have a passion for, okay? So I happen to have a passion for guitar and comedy and speaking, and so that makes sense for me. But yours might be different. It might be science or teaching or healing, helping people out. It might be in mechanics. There's all kinds of different areas that we might be talented. So I've taught this forever. In fact, I wrote a book called What If? And the first sentence in the entire book says, you are a genius. And I don't say that out of some silly motivational speak, rah, rah, make you feel good about yourself. I say that because it's true. In fact, I've taught this for years, and I finally came across an Einstein quote that says it better than I ever did. Einstein said, everyone is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life thinking it's stupid. If you're in that category where you're thinking, you know what, I haven't really discovered my talent, or you even doubted that you had one, I'm going to tell you right now on behalf of God that you do. You are, everyone in here is a genius, is a potential virtuoso at something. It just might not be something that's on stage. The question is not, can you become a virtuoso? Because the answer to that is yes. The question is, will you? Will you make the choice today to become a virtuoso at the things that are important in your life? Now, let's flesh that out. I wouldn't ask you to make this and not give you some information about what this decision involves. So let me continue with the story. After Brian had sort of dropped that bomb on me and said, wow, have you resolved to be the best? He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to take out a sheet of paper, write this question at the top of it, and answer the question. And at that point, I was all ears because he had me, right? He said, what would it take for me to become a virtuoso? It's pretty simple. What would it take? What would I do that I'm not currently doing? What would I do more of that I am currently doing? Or what would I do less of what would I stop doing that I need to stop doing? He said, and just make this list. And I got that. It was like, hey, well, let's map this out. No one ever spelled this out for me, so hey, let's sit down and come up with this list. So I did. To give you an idea of the things that I wrote down that day, at that point, I had been playing guitar for 20-something years. The first thing I wrote on the list was, take lessons. Who knew, right? You know, I mean, I'm self-taught, right? And when you're self-taught, you get proud of that. I'm self-taught. Aren't most of us self-taught? Aren't we trying to teach ourselves how to be married? Teaching ourselves how to parent our children? Teaching ourselves how to manage our own finances with no background, right? Teaching ourselves how to get better at our jobs? Teaching ourselves to have a relationship with God? Here's the problem with being self-taught. The teacher's not that good. That's funny. You can laugh at that, okay? The teacher's not that good. The idea is, why not quit trying to reinvent the wheel? Go to people who can help you. Go to people who can learn. It was that day I made a list. I came up with 11 things that I could be working on a regular basis to become the best at what I do, become my personal best, not compared to anyone else. Since then, I have taught this to countless, literally thousands of groups, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people. And I've had groups at programs I do where I've taken the whole group and had them compile this list on their own, kind of yell out the things, and we see what it works. From all those lists, I have generated one that I think works for absolutely anything. The 11 steps it takes to become a virtuoso at anything. And I want to share that list with you right now. Number one, virtuosos do something they love and something they're good at. Both. Something you love and something you're good at. Because there are things that you love that you might not be good at. And there are things that you're good at that you might not love. I mean, I love endurance sports. Running, cycling, anything. I'm also flat-footed, which means I can get good but not great at it, okay? Now, I'm good at math, but I hate math. I hate it, okay? So that's probably not where I need to go. However, with music, comedy, speaking, professional speaking, I love those things, and I'm pretty good at them. So that's where I want to go. Look for the thing that you love and that you're good at. That's number one. Number two, virtuosos practice regularly, intentionally, and a lot. My family will get upset with me because I'll pick up the guitar about 10:30 at night and start practicing, and 3 in the morning, I'm still going, okay? I love practice. In fact, I believe in it, okay? I even wear it. Practice. Virtuosos, number three, get coaching. Get lessons. Go to people who know. The greatest golfers, the greatest athletes in the world all have a personal coach. And you can get coaching in pretty much anything. You can get coaching in relationships. You can get coaching in parenting. I know somebody who has a parenting coach. And by the way, we offer all of those things here at Verve through either Verve University. In fact, I am teaching my virtuoso class. It's a 3-hour plan, a great goal for the year, and make it happen. And that's happened on January the 28th. You can sign up at the Velcro Bar. It's free. It's Please come to that if you can. We have class things about relationships, about spirituality, about my virtuoso class. We have finances. We teach all of those things. We also have Verve groups, which are more spiritually oriented, and you kind of work together on a personal level. Number four, feedback and accountability. Virtuosos get feedback. You got to find out how you're doing. And most of us hate this because it's not always fun. We don't want to hear that we messed up. But here's the cool thing. If you find the right people and the right sources, feedback and accountability are always reinforcing. Even when they're not what you want to hear, they're reinforcing, and they're never shaming. That's what you'll get in a Verve group. It's a great thing to do. Number five, mentors. Virtuosos have mentors. A mentor is someone usually older than you, by a few years at least, who's been successful, but more importantly, has become wise. Someone that you seek counsel from, maybe not on a regular basis like a coach, or maybe it's a little less often, every couple of weeks, maybe every month. Someone that you can call and talk with and ask the hard questions to. Someone who's been there and can offer you the counsel that you need. In fact, one of my mentors was here this morning at the first service, supporting me. That's how that works. Number six, it's models. A model is someone who has done something very similar to what you want to accomplish. Someone who's already made it there. Someone who's either that or further along in their journey than you are. I have a model in the speaking world. Someone who's doing this as well as anybody, a guy named Eric Wall, okay? I look at the things he's doing, and he's doing things right on a lot of levels. So I know him, but you don't have to know the person or the group or whomever it is that you're modeling. All you need to do is study them, study what they do. Follow what they do. Success leaves clues. That's number six. Number seven, take chances. Virtuosos are willing to take a chance to step out and to risk. Now, we all have a comfort zone, and by definition of the word comfort, we kind of like that zone. But I'm going to tell you right now, most of the great things that happen in life rarely happen in our comfort zones. We need to step out to make those happen. That's what virtuosos do. Number eight, read and listen and learn. Read, listen, and learn. Reading. We need to be virtuosos are lifelong dedicated students, passionate about learning and growing in anything, but growing specifically in their area of expertise. Now, if you're like, I'm a slow reader. I tend to read word for word, right? And that can be a little laborious sometimes, or maybe you don't have the time to read, or maybe you just don't like to read, right? I have a solution. The word is audio. Almost every book out there is available in audio. There are audio learning programs. I listen to these now. I've listened to them forever. Your car could become a university on wheels. You could learn about relationships. You could learn about time management. You could learn about anything from listening to the right audio programs. I travel all the time. So occasionally I have a cab driver, right? And there are a lot of, not all of them, but there are a lot of cab drivers that don't like what they're doing, right? They're not happy with their jobs. I don't understand why, if you have the time in a car, the time between fares, the time when you're driving and you could plug in the headphones, why you're not learning. You could teach yourself an entire degree just on audio programs. There are ways to learn. You just have to be dedicated. That's what virtuosos do. Number nine, attention to details. What we find is as people grow in their abilities in anything, as you grow in your relationship, as you grow in your health, as you grow in your career, in your finances, in your spirituality, there's greater and greater attention to detail. I have an example for you. These are both my guitars. This, and they're pretty identical, right? Except for the Verve sticker down here, they're pretty identical. This is a 1990 American-made Fender Stratocaster with Lay Sensor pickups called a Strat Plus, and it's an awesome instrument. It's the instrument you heard actually playing all the parts in that video, the Nerd Like Me video, okay? All the solos, all the guitar parts were played on this instrument. It's an awesome instrument. This instrument, oh, and it's worth a lot of money. This instrument is a $69 knockoff. I got it at Guitar Center. Okay? They look almost identical. The difference is the details. That's what virtuosos recognize. They pay attention to the details. Number 10, join with others. Virtuosos realize, hey, you know what? We don't have to go this alone. There are people out there who are in similar cases where you can help each other. I have a mastermind group, which I'm a part of, and we get together a few times a year. We're from different parts of the country. We fly together to sit down and brainstorm for each other. My Verve group here, I've been meeting with for 5 years. I don't know what I'd do without them. They know me inside. They know the worst of me. They know the best of me, and they bring out the best in me. Join your trade organization. I'm part of the National Speakers Association. Join groups which are oriented toward what you do. That's what virtuosos do. And number 11, always over-deliver. Virtuosos go the extra mile. They exceed expectations. They show up early. They stay late. They're enthusiastic, right? They have a great work ethic. Now, you might have taken notes on that. I see some of you there. It's okay. If you want that list, because I feel that list is pretty important, you can apply it to anything. You can apply that to anything to get better at it. We've printed them up, and they're free in the back at the Velcro bar. You can take one on the way out. Now, I told you I was going to talk about how God fits into all this, and there's some important points to share with you. First of all, there is no point in the Bible where God commands us to be successful. Ever does he say that. Never does God make his love conditional upon our performance. You could be rich and famous and amazing, and you could be poor and destitute. God loves you exactly the same. You could be the most generous, giving human being in the world, or you could be a selfish rat. God loves you just the same. There's nothing you can do to separate yourself from God's love. If you invite it in, he's giving it to you 100%, and you can't change that. And that's awesome news, and I know that because I screw up. And I need to know that God loves me regardless. We're going to get to the Bible here. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to open to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Don't worry if you don't have a Bible here. We're going to put the verse on the screen. If you don't own a Bible, we give them away for free. One of these Bibles, we give them away free at the Velcro bar. Take a Bible, take the little list. It'll be good for you. Let's read. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's pretty clear. I don't think there's a lot of room for wiggle there. God just plain loves us. So, if God loves us anyway, regardless of our performance, why do this? Why become a virtuoso? Or I hear people say, well, why should I work hard when I have a boss who doesn't appreciate me at all, no matter what I do? Or why should I become really good at what I do when my salary sucks? It's exactly the opposite, 100% backwards. You don't get a good job and then go all out. You go all out, and then someday you'll get a good job. You don't get a great salary, so now you become excellent at it. You become excellent and so good that sooner or later they have to pay you a great salary. That's the way it works. And guess what? If you get great at what you do, if you have a great work ethic, if you're excellent at it, and your boss still doesn't appreciate you, doesn't pay you what you're worth, there's another boss out there who probably will. And it might just be your boss's competition, and you could go there. This is how you write your own ticket, by the way. Now, there's another point in the Bible where God says something about this, specifically speaks to the idea of becoming a virtuoso, and it's revolutionary. Never before on the planet had this been heard. I want you to open your Bibles now to the book of Colossians. Both the book of Romans and the book of Colossians are individual books within the Bible that were actually letters in biblical times written to the church at Rome and the church at Colossae, hence the name Colossians. It's Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. That's huge. What God is saying is, your earthly boss is no longer your boss. It might be your boss, but you're answering to a higher calling from this point forward. When you make the choice to become a virtuoso, when you accept God, Christ as your Savior, when you get on the team, so to speak, when you accept that, you're now saying, you know what? I'm no longer answering just to my boss. I'm answering to a higher power. So think about this. How would you do your job differently if when you go in the morning, God is sitting there? That's your boss now. I bet you'd become pretty good at it. How would you become different in your health decisions if God was your health coach? How would you treat your relationships, your marriage different if God was your relationship counselor? If you answered to God, how would you treat your finances differently, your spending habits? How would you get organized if God was your accountant? And of course, how would you create a different relationship spiritually with God if you knew he was present right there, because he really is? That's huge. And it causes us to move to a higher calling and to become a virtuoso. That's what God is asking us to do. His love is not dependent on it, but he's asking that of us. Now, as I taught this, corporations and associations everywhere around the world, about 5 years after I started teaching, it was very effective, and I was getting a lot of good reactions to it. I discovered a huge incongruity in myself, and I've sort of hinted at it here. One day it hit me. Who am I to teach becoming a virtuoso, making the choice to become your best at your job, but not to apply it to the things that I value more highly than my job, like my relationship? What would it take for me to become a virtuoso husband? Guys, if you ask that question, here's a hint. Ask your wife. She's got a list. And of course, I'm having fun there, but think about it. If she has a list, don't you need to know it? Or what would it take for me to become a virtuoso father? I mean, I love my parents, but most of our parents are the reasons that we have psychotherapists, okay? So actually, what I'm saying here is not just to become a virtuoso in your job. What I'm asking you to do today is to be a little bold, to step out and declare, to make the choice to become a life virtuoso. A life virtuoso, to become a master of the things that really matter in life. And you know what? I'm not talking about some type A overachieving approach to life at all. How would I say this? Being a virtuoso, a life virtuoso, is not about being good at everything. It's about being the best, being a virtuoso at the most important things. And there is enough time for that. So think about this. If we're talking about the most important things in life, there's a lot of times people say, hear that, and we have a general idea of what it means. But I'm about trying to spell things out so that there's clarity here. So I would like to share with you what I believe are the five most important areas of life. You may disagree with this. Okay, I haven't found anybody yet, but you might. Okay, but I want to share what I genuinely believe are the five most important areas of life. Number one is your relationships, your marriage, your parenting, and your friendships. Number two is your health. You've got to have good health. Number three is your career. That matters. God talks about it directly. Number four is your finances. And number five is your spirituality. And I invite you to come back next week, because Vince, our pastor, who is a virtuoso at this, he's a great speaker. I love his sermons, his messages. He's going to talk about how to have a virtuoso relationship with God. He's probably not going to phrase it that way, but that's what it's about. I know a little bit about the message next week. I'm not going to kid you. Making the choice to become a life virtuoso will not be easy. It's not easy to go back over things that don't work and try to make them work. It's not easy to dig into the things that you feel a little scared about, right? In fact, the only thing that I can think of that's harder than becoming a life virtuoso is not becoming a life virtuoso. Imagine not for long, but just for a moment, imagine if the things you know are not right in your life, the things that are a problem, things that are in disarray, what if you don't do anything about them? How are you going to feel without changing that as we're declaring welcoming in 2018, in 2019, how things will deteriorate? We don't want that. That's why I want you to make the choice to become a life virtuoso. It's not about being good at everything. It's about being great at the most important things. Now, you remember the little girl I was telling you about who was drawing the picture of God, right? And I asked you if you could do that. If you take and make that choice to become a life virtuoso, and your marriage goes from disarray to something that's working and something that people look at and say, wow, how did you do that? You just showed us a little bit of what God looks like. If you take your health, and maybe you've had some challenges or not, and you don't have to become a 5% body fat Olympic athlete, but you make changes and people see you growing and change and moving forward. People say, how did you do that? You're showing us a little bit of what God looks like. When you take your career and people that you work with you say, where are you getting this joy about this job? Why are you working so hard? I want what you have, man. What's going on in you? You're showing us a little bit of what God looks like. When you go from financial disarray and debt and chaos, and you make it stable, and then you get out of debt, and then you start growing, and you become financial growth and financial abundance, maybe even financial independence, people go, I want what you have. What are you doing? You're showing us exactly what God looks like. And of course, when you have a relationship with God where you have a joy about you. And we know people like this, right? They have this joy about them. They have something about them that's just different, and it's compelling. It draws us in. And you say, what is it you have? I want that. You just showed us a great glimpse of what God really looks like. So I want you to make the choice to become a life virtuoso. Show us a little bit of what God really looks like. I'm going to do one more piece of music here. This is kind of fun. It's a piece that I have closed with forever, and I always have fun with it and change it up a little bit. I had a request one time to perform The Devil Went Down to Georgia, the old Charlie Daniels song. It's the story of a fiddle battle, and I said, nah, I said, fiddle, guitar. Anyway, I jumped out. I tried it. I took a chance, and both the people that night enjoyed it, mom and dad. So thank you so much. I want you to make that choice to become a life virtuoso. It will be worth it. And join me on January 28th from 1 to 4 right here at Verve. This young man, I saw it on the fiddle and playing it hot. The devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. If you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, so I think I'm better than you. Boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best it's ever been. Johnny, you rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard. Hillsborough blues in Georgia and the devil deals a card. If you win, you get the shiny fiddle made of gold. If you lose, the devil gets your soul. The devil opened up his case and he said, I'll start the show. And fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. Then demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Mm-hmm. top. When the devil finished, Johnny said, "You're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done." Fire the mountain, run, boys, run. Dusting the house, arise the sun. Chewing the brick pan, picking out dough. Raise it all by no child, no. Greatest song. And then the voice comes in. Every time that I look in the mirror. His head because, oh, wait a second. I do this all the time. Let's put a few songs that don't belong right here that might fit. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. There is a house in New Orleans they call the Rising Sun, and it's been the ruin of many a poor boy, and God, I know I'm one. There's a lady who, sure, all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. Well, a hip hop, hip it to the hip, hip hop, you don't stop. A rocket to the bang, bang, the boogie's the up jump, the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie beat. Now lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance, don't blow this opportunity. Comes once in a lifetime, you better lose yourself. Yeah. When you can take a personality disorder and turn it into a career. Well, the devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. He laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. Because I done told you once, you son of a gun, I'm the best it's ever been." And he played, "Fire in the mountain, run, boys, run. Dusting the house of the rise of the sun. Cheating the bread pan, picking out dough. Crazy dog by no child, no." Come a life virtuoso, yes. Thank you.